It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Clay Masters. It was here in Iowa where young voters helped propel Barack Obama to the White House in 2008. As the president leaves the Oval Office, Iowans have the opportunity to do the same in the Iowa caucuses in less than 3 months. Where does the youth vote stand now? NPR weekend host of All Things Considered, Michelle Martin, will be in Des Moines next week to hold a conversation on this topic. She's with me this morning. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
You're holding a conversation at Drake University in a town hall-style forum. It seems the question you're trying to answer is, how are young Iowa voters engaged in this election?
Well, it's really more, you know, who's reaching out to them, how they feel they're being talked to. It's more like, are the candidates reaching out to them? What kinds of issues do they care about? Because young people typically see younger voters as the legs. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they see them as the legs, as the kind of the cheap labor. Right. Maybe that's, you know, it's like you're the one who's going to go out and do the grunt work. But do I take you seriously as a voter yourself, as somebody to appeal to, as somebody for me to entice? And that's the question that that's what we're kind of wondering about this year. I mean, Obama really incorporated the younger voters into his ground game. And so now what we see this year is, well, when we first started reporting on this a couple of months ago, it didn't appear that on the Republican side there was really that much targeted effort to appeal to the youth vote, except as part of another community, right? As part of the evangelical community, for example, or with people who already had communications tools. Like Trump is very big on social media. He's big on Twitter. But is he really his message, you know, oriented toward this particular voter? Bernie Sanders really seems to have taken off with the youth voter. I mean, you kind of see it in terms of who's signing him and who's doing all this other stuff. On the other hand, Hillary Clinton has a real ground game, and she seems to be determined not to make the same mistake she made, you know, in 2008. So that's kind of, you see all these strands developing, but you don't know which way they're actually, you know, what's really gelling.
Now, you're no stranger for these kind of storytelling events. The one that first comes to mind for me are the conversations you held in Ferguson, Missouri, following the death of Michael Brown. What can people expect from these kind of evenings of conversations?
Well, I think that people come to these looking for something different than they can get just by being at home. There's nothing obviously wrong with kind of taking in your media by taking it in the way you normally do, you know, on the radio or on a podcast, or, you know, you're driving, you're, you know, running your errands. But this is a way to kind of really dig in. It's also a way to experience things with your neighbors or with your friends. We also have a component of music, of storytelling. It's just a very unique experience. It's just something different than you are going to get anywhere else. And every time we've put on one of these events, people have walked away from it feeling that they got something special that they would not have gotten had they not come.
Have you hosted events on similar topics like voting, or is this the first time?
Well, no. I mean, in Charlotte last year, in Charlotte, North Carolina, we did a whole event around the whole voting rights question. You know that there are a number of states that are moving to make it harder to vote or imposing new restrictions that require certain types of identification or changing the hours that people can vote. And that's very controversial. Some people say that those are necessary to impede people from voting who should not be voting. Other people say that these are political attempts in order to keep people from voting, that other people don't want to vote just because they're, you know, they aren't going to vote for the candidates that they prefer. So we had a very rich conversation about that in Charlotte. It was intense at times, as you might imagine, because this is the kind of issue that people have very strong feelings about. But it was also really a rich experience. We were able to bring in some national voices to shed some light on this issue that many people had not had a chance to talk with before. And so it's a very kind of textured experience. And one of the things that we particularly like about these events is that we not only get together and have our conversation in the room, the conversation goes beyond the room, because in every instance we have a social media conversation going on at the same time. So literally you can participate from anywhere in the world, And it's that really adds a dimension that a lot of people like.
Well, we're looking forward to it. That's NPR's Michelle Martin. She'll be at Drake University next week on the 10th for an evening of conversation about voting myths and facts about the hashtag generation. Michelle, thanks for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you.